The City and Borough of Juneau Canvas Board meets tomorrow to certify results from last week's municipal election. On Friday, elections officials fed more than 1,600 absentee and question ballots through voting machines at City Hall. Results for most races had already been certain, but with all the outstanding ballots counted, Merrill Sanford could officially be declared mayor-elect. The former assembly member finished with 4,099 votes to Cheryl Gebe's 3,440, or 54% to 45%. Sanford returns to the assembly after a year away because of term limits. He says he wants local government to focus on reducing the cost of living and bringing jobs to Juneau.
We probably need to have that up front in our mind every time we vote on something that's going to increase the cost of government in our town to either our taxpayers or to our tourists coming in or to our business people. We need to take that into consideration.
As Friday's count got underway, the only issue still in doubt was Proposition 1. The $25 million bond measure to fund various capital improvement projects trailed by nearly 60 votes. But after all the absentee and question ballots had been counted, Proposition 1 passed with 3,888 votes to 3,815. Another capital project funding package, Proposition 2, also passed on a vote of 4,545 to 3,211. Proposition 2 is a five-year extension of the city's temporary 1% sales tax. Sanford opposed both measures during the campaign, but now says they'll help put people to work.
Those projects can start immediately in the next year. And so that's a good thing for our community because it'll mean that some more of our contractors and business people are busy and our worker bees are working.
Newly elected Assemblymember Lauren Jones supported both measures. He says a provision to use $10 million from the sales tax revenue to pay down the debt on the bonds for the first 5 years should keep property taxes from going up.
I think it funds some good projects in town. I might have done a lot differently, but there's a lot of nuance to sort of deciding which went in which package. So I think that it alleviates a lot of questions over the next year or two. We can move on with the budget. We can get these projects going.
Other winners from last Tuesday's election remain the same. Jerry Nan Curvis won the Assembly District 2 seat, while Andy Story, Phyllis Carlson, and Destiny Sargent were elected to the Juneau Board of Education. The assembly members will take the oath of office at a special meeting a week from today. The school board meetings, school board members will be sworn in a day later. That's on October 16th. And for more on the municipal election, go to our website at ktoo.org. A set of letters written by a sailor aboard the original USS Juneau may be headed to the Juneau Douglas City Museum for research and display. Assemblymember Randy Wanamaker, who's organizing activities centered around the cruiser's tragic sinking during World War II, says he was contacted by the daughter of a woman who held on to the letters for nearly 70 years. Winifred Blohm of New Jersey was the next-door neighbor and good friend of George Meeker, who later served aboard the Juneau as a seaman second class. Blohm recently passed away, and her daughter wanted to pass the documents on to Meeker's family, but she could not find any surviving relatives. They then turned to Wanamaker to broker a possible donation to a local museum or library.
They want the certainty of a safe and secure place where they can be archived and researched properly, yet available for the public to view.
How many letters total?
There are 16 letters in their collection there, and there are an unknown number of other documents, postcards in English and postcards in, I think, in other languages from places that appear to be out in the South Pacific. And there are also documents in Japanese. They're not certain how big the collection is. They really only came across it a few months ago and have begun going through it. At first they read all the letters and then they realized all these other documents are part of the same collection that this sailor, Mr. Meeker, William Meeker, sent home. Mr. Meeker sent these letters to this Winifred Blohm, and along with these Japanese language documents and pictures and things, and they have no idea what they are. They only know they're in Japanese. And some of these postcards are from different parts of the world. They sound like they're in the South Pacific somewhere, but they really don't know what the references are. But they're part of what he sent home to her, so they want them to be part of the collection. And they figure that people with a historian's training and understanding will be able to put together a picture of what all of this means, and perhaps it has historical value and significance, not just for the families, but for all of the people who were on the USS Juno and for the country.
Now, you've looked over all the letters, haven't you?
I've glanced at them. I haven't read them all, no, but they describe for me at length the progression of the letters and what they do through time.
Were Seaman Meeker and Miss Bloom, were they engaged, or were they just friends? Or?
They were friends, and you could, according to the family, Mary Testa, that's the daughter of Winifred Bloom. You could see the beginnings of a relationship building in the letters. They were neighbors. They knew each other. He went off to the Navy and asked if he could write to her so that he'd have somebody to correspond with. And she agreed to correspond with him. And while we only have his letters, it's evident from his writings that he's feeling like they're developing a relationship through the correspondence, and they'd already known each other anyway. They grew up in Harrison, New Jersey.
But you did mention that you read the last letter a week before.
Yes.
Before the Juno was sunk.
Yes, the last letter that she received came from him. It was written a week before the USS Juno was sunk, and he refers vaguely to a coming battle that they know they're going somewhere to do something, and that he feels that now he needs to go, and that he's arranged to go and take the sacrament in the morning, and that's the last letter he ever wrote. He was a Catholic, and the sacrament is, as I understand it, is like the last rites.
And that was roughly about a week before Guadalcanal?
Yes, before the naval battle of Guadalcanal, where they were sunk. And that's where the letter series ends. So, but it's clear, you can tell in the letter, that he has the sense of foreboding almost. When I read this letter, the very first letter of Mr. Meeker to Winifred, you could tell that he was a young person in the service and just really getting oriented into the service. And he became alive to me because I can remember being that person. I can remember my early military training, not yet a full-fledged senior Army person with a lot of years of experience, but a new person with less than a year and still learning and having a sense of wonderment about it all. He became very alive to me. He is completely alive to me because of that letter.
Randy Wanamaker showed copies of the letters during the USS Juno organizational meeting on Friday. A representative of the Juno Douglas City Museum was not present, but a representative of the state's historical collection says the City Museum would be the proper place for such artifacts. The USS Juno was a light cruiser sunk during the naval battle of Guadalcanal. Among the 687 sailors who perished were the five Sullivan brothers. The wife of Juno Mayor Harry Lucas sponsored the vessel. Wanamaker is leading a group that's organizing events to mark the 70th anniversary of the sinking November 13th. He says if anyone has any information, old artifacts, or pictures related to the first USS Juno, then they should contact him.